This morning's scripture reading is from Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 to 5 and 10, conversion of Nineveh. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please stand as you are comfortable for the reading of the gospel. Today, our reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 14 to 20, the beginning of the Galilean ministry. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." Jesus calls the first disciples. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat, mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen.
Good morning. When I was asked to be a substitute for Pastor Kim, I said, "Sure, that's easy. I have an education background. I know there's a lot of teachers in the audience. You know what substitutes do. They put in a movie." So imagine my surprise this morning. So I sat back there and I wrote a few things when I found out there wasn't going to be a movie. And I remember today is Ecumenical Sunday. That is a day that we strive as Christians to unite despite our various denominations. According to an article I read, globally there are 46,400 Christian denominations. That's a lot to unite, huh? It's hard to imagine 46,400 different things that Christians could disagree about, right? But the one commonality, as the name implies, is Christ. Now, it's always fun to ask kids, "Is Christ Jesus' last name?" And they usually say yes. But the Gospels were written in Greek. And next slide. Christos in Greek means Messiah, which means, in English, the anointed or anointed one. Christ is what others called him. It was like a title. They gave him his parents, not Christ as a name, but Yeshua, which in essence means salvation. That was the name God told them to give Jesus. And that name, Yeshua, got translated to Greek and then translated to English, and that's why we call him Jesus. But Christ is a title like Lord. Now, Laszlo Galuez, I read an article he wrote about Jesus as a model teacher, and he states Lord is used 83 times in the New Testament. And the word teacher, or the Hebrew word rabbi, which means religious teacher, that's used 56 times. So Christ's role as a teacher must be important. Large crowds would gather to hear him, so he must have been pretty good. Do you remember a favorite teacher you had? What was that teacher like? What were the qualities of that teacher? And don't say just because, you know, she didn't assign any homework, that's why you liked her. When I was teaching, we used to call the experienced teachers, the teachers who would teach other teachers, we would call them master teachers. And that's what Jesus is. He's a master teacher. As Christians, we're to learn from the master teacher. Now, as I mentioned, many people have written about Jesus as teacher, and the strategies he used to teach others are effective strategies today. In narrating the incident about calling the first disciples, Mark shortens the story a little bit because in the other Gospels, they say that Jesus got to know them, went to visit them at their house. He told Simon where to catch some fish because Simon had been up all night and hadn't caught anything. He cared about his students. Jesus healed people, fed people, visited them. It wasn't all about lecture. Theodore Roosevelt said, "People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care." There's been a lot of teacher education programs who have used that slogan, substituting students for people. Students don't know how much, they don't care how much you know as a teacher until they know as a teacher that you care. Was that a quality of the favorite teacher you remembered? Yeah. Caring about your students. That's quite a contrast to Jonah. Well, he didn't seem to like his students, right? The first time he was told to go to Nineveh, he went the opposite way. I love this story because it shows that God has a sense of humor. So he gets swallowed by this big fish, and he rides around for 3 days, and then he's delivered up into the sand like an Uber. Uber Eats, right? He's delivered right there. And then he's experiential learning, you know? And then God says, okay, now you go to Nineveh, right? So he goes to Nineveh. God is a God of second chances. And now that Jonah learned his lesson, kind of, goes to Nineveh, but only a day's worth. He doesn't go to the center of the city. He probably didn't even take a bath, right? He doesn't necessarily care about his students. So he threatens, God's going to destroy you, Nineveh. We know teachers who threaten students. Sometimes that works, right? You don't do your homework. You're going to stay in at recess. You don't do well on the test, or you don't turn in that paper. You're going to fail the class, not graduate. You don't believe in God. You're going to go to hell. That works maybe with some students. It worked with Nineveh. Everybody repented. They turned around back towards God. But God is a God, a teacher of second chances. He's concerned about the learner. Now, Jonah was, he was upset about that. It was like, why didn't you destroy them? You're making me look bad, God. Here I said, you know, they're going to all die. I've lost my prophecy gift. Right? But God, again, he cares about his students, unlike Jonah. So maybe threats work with some students, but more and more students today, what works with them, how they're motivated, is more by the positive, not by threats. Jesus was one of those teachers that dwelt on the positive. In our scripture reading, he's telling them about the good news of God. Yeah, he also tells them to repent, but the Hebrew word that's for repent, if I'm saying this correctly, teshuva, and we think of it as an adjective. We're filled with remorse, we're remorseful, we feel really bad for what we did, but it actually comes from a verb, to turn towards God. So it's not just a state of mind, but an action. Jesus is telling them, you've been going this way, you need to reorient your lives and go this way. Follow me, come to me, repent and turn towards me, towards God. Now, in this gospel story where Jesus first calls his disciples, he sees Simon, Andrew, James, and John, and he tells them, I'll make you fish for people. So as Christians, we're not only learning from the master teacher about the good news of God, but we're learning how to teach others. I'll make you fish for people is really Jesus saying, I'll teach you how to fish for people. So when we teach about the good news of God, like Jesus, we should create a personal relationship as he did. We should give second chances as God does. If that neighbor or friend, they're not interested in going to church with us this Sunday, we don't give up and never ask them again. We share how God has helped us turn towards him and how that has changed our lives for the better. We don't give up. Now, Jesus modeled other skills that effective teachers use. When we're in teacher education programs, we learn about Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And in essence, what that is as humans, we have to have our basic needs filled before we can learn anything. Students can't learn if they're hungry, right? And remember the miracle of feeding the 5,000? Jesus knew that. He took care of their basic needs. In Luke 9:11, Luke emphasizes how Jesus builds a relationship by taking care of people's needs. When the crowds found out about it, they followed him and he welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed to be cured. Jesus doesn't just talk as a teacher, he acts. He was a servant teacher. He wants us to be that kind of teacher also. When Jesus washed his disciples' feet at the Last Supper, remember in John 13:15? Next slide, he said, for I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Joel Joyce, in his article, Christ Our Model, the Model Teacher, states, whether it was obedience, self-denial, or suffering for the sake of the gospel, he, meaning Jesus, he first lived these out, and then he taught his followers to do the same. A person's teaching will carry little weight if there are glaring inconsistencies between manner of life and teaching. End of quote. So when we support missions work, when we feed the hungry, when we take care of the sick, when we teach Sunday school, when we help with our community events, all of that is building congruence between our lives and our teaching. But if the first time we go to talk to our neighbor and it's all about salvation, our neighbor's not likely to be interested. But if we build a relationship, we take food when they're ill, roll their trash cans up and down, chat with them, chat with their kids, ask how they're doing, then they're more apt to listen when we teach about Jesus. So here's some other strategies that the master teacher used. He helped students learn by making connections to what we teachers call prior learning, right? So he referred to the Old Testament, quote, and just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and then he applies to the new learning, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And in Matthew 5:43-44, you have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That's from Leviticus, right? They would all know that, the new learning. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So how can we as Christian teachers connect previous learning when we're witnessing? Well, if we get to know others, if we find a common interests, a common experience, we can make that connection. Now, my grandson gave a great example. He brings a friend on Wednesday nights, and last year during Christmas, we were telling the nativity story. And as we were talking about Jesus, he says, "I just don't understand it." This is the friend. "How can Jesus be God and human?" So my grandson says, "Well, you know, what's his name? It's a name I don't remember, but it's a superhero. You know this superhero. He's God and he's also human. Well, Jesus is like that, but he's real." So see, he made a connection to something his friend knew that they both had shared an experience about. They love those Marvel stories and DC stories. And then he connected it to the new learning. Jesus, the master teacher, he also used analogies, metaphors, stories to help students learn. For example, the parable of the farmer planting or sowing seeds in four different places. Remember that? And only the seeds in the good soil took root. And even the story today when he's talking to fishermen, "I'll help you fish for people." See, he knew his audience. He knew they were farmers. They were fishermen. And we can use those stories and analogies when we talk about Jesus. We can share how he's made a difference to us and in our lives. Other strategies that Jesus used. He asked questions. He used repetition. He used object lessons. He encouraged diversity. He addressed implicit bias. He taught anyone who would listen, no matter their race, ethnicity, profession, orientation, education, social or economic status. He asks us to do the same. Remember in Matthew 28:19, some of his last words, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Effective teachers don't just pick out what students they're going to teach. They teach all students. So we shouldn't avoid the obnoxious colleague because we don't want to create a personal relationship with him, or avoid the neighbor whose political ideologies are way far to the right or way far to the left, or avoid the young adult whose pronouns don't fit our grammar structure, or the visitor whose name we can't pronounce. Avoidance is not a teaching strategy that Jesus used. To be an effective teacher like Jesus, we may have to go outside our comfort zone. We may have to approach our neighbor, our friends, our colleagues, visitors. I am basically a shy person. I know you're saying no way, but really, I am. But Jesus has helped me be able to come out of my shell and talk to people, and he can do that with you. Now, it can start with just a simple invite to church. Of course, we can use humor. And so, here's an example of how not to invite someone to church. Finally, the video.
"A minute, I want to say hey to Joe. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Mike.
Flower beds are looking good, neighbor."
"Yep. You guys just get back from church?"
"Ah, yeah, just been at the church house."
"I wonder why he never invites me to church. I mean, I'd go if he asked me to go. This is the way it is. I'm out in my front yard when he comes home from church. It's always so awkward."
"It's so awkward. And I'm so hungry. Ugh. I think my wife made goulash. I love goulash. Oh, maybe Joe would like some goulash for lunch. Hey, Joe."
"Here comes the invitation to church."
"Yeah? You wanna come over for
goulash? Sure, I'd love to go to church with you."
What'd you just say?
What'd you say? You said something about God.
Goo.
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 Goo. Goulash.
Goulash?
Goulash. It's a...
You're having goulash at your church?
No. No, at my house.
You're inviting me over for goulash?
Yeah.
At your... Goulash. Yeah, who doesn't like goulash? I like some goulash. Yeah, sign me up. Goulash.
I'll check and make sure we have enough.
I see you walking away.
Yeah, so don't do it like that. William Arthur Ward, he was a pioneer, a Baptist minister, printer, translator. He said, the mediocre teacher tells, the good teacher explains, the superior teacher demonstrates, the great teacher inspires. Jesus, the master teacher, he was a great teacher, and we can all be one too. And all the Christian teachers said, Amen. Thank you.